right, folks, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Wire podcast. Another one of these shorter episodes, getting to know the opponents in a non-conference and to give you something to listen to every day at work. You know the website, mwwire.com, Twitter, mwcwire, all that great stuff. This particular show, we're going to be talking Washington State versus Wyoming, which should be, it's the opener for the Cougars here. Cowboys getting game two. We're talking with Jeff Nusser at CougCenter.com. So, hey, how you doing, man?
I'm awesome.
So we've had you on a few times before in the past, but it's been a while because I think the Cougars haven't played a Mountain West team in a little bit, I want to say. They played Boise last year. Actually, I think we missed that one.
Played Boise State the last 2 years.
No, maybe it hasn't. Maybe I just forget to talk to you and say, hey, come chat about the game.
Maybe that's it.
We'll see. It's okay. No, we know what's going on here. So here's what we're doing here. For people who've listened to our Michigan State one, Colorado, we're just trying to get Wyoming fans to know Washington State. And let's start with this. Mike Leach is playing coy, quarterback deal issues. Not issues, but starting quarterback because there's a new one. So who's it going to be? Let Wyoming fans know who they need to prep for this weekend.
Yeah, the starter is going to be Gardner Minshew. He's the grad transfer from East Carolina. Obviously Mike Leach likes to, you know, pretend that he's very clever. And, you know, I'm going to put four quarterbacks on the depth chart with three ors in between them just to, you know, mess with everybody. But, you know, the fourth quarterback is Cammon Cooper, who's a true freshman who hasn't gotten meaningful reps in a practice in 3 weeks. So, you know, I mean, it's just whatever. So Minshew's going to be the guy. He's an interesting guy. He's got some experience. He was kind of a part-time starter the last 2 years at East Carolina. Had, you know, varying levels of success, had some really big games, had some pretty inconsistent games. Left there because they had brought in a hotshot freshman who they were basically just going to give the job to, who had a different skill set than Minshew. Minshew's, he's a pretty prototypical pocket passer. He's got some mobility, but, you know, he's 6'2", you know, 220 roughly, throws a nice ball, doesn't have a great arm, you know, but throws a nice ball, and he makes all the throws you need to be able to make in the air raid. He's very accurate, he's an air raid quarterback. He's more fleet of foot than Luke Falk. You know, obviously there's going to be inevitable comparison. So far during camp, he has shown that he's got a way better command of the air raid than I think anybody would have reasonably expected. It's a pretty famous offense for being, you know, the pure version that Mike Leach runs. It's pretty famous for being difficult to master. And really every report was that he was, right neck and neck with the two guys he was competing with, which were a couple guys who, you know, had been in the program for a couple of years, but have never played. And so the fact that he was kind of neck and neck with them from the very start and has only gotten better with more reps, is a really good sign for a team that's looking for a quarterback to replace Tyler Helinski, who obviously died by suicide back in January. So, I think it's a good sign that he's the starter. You know, you bring in a guy as a grad transfer, I think that's the hope. And I think we're, you know, cautiously optimistic that he'll be able to run the air raid efficiently enough to put up some points this year.
Yeah, we kind of know what to expect, but if he's already getting it down, he was here during spring, correct, as well? Is that right? Or is it just only fall only?
No, he could. So as a transfer, he couldn't come in until the summer. So he actually, funny story is he spent that time after his transfer from East Carolina, he went back home to Mississippi. And the actual originator of the air raid, Hal Mummy, I believe was the offensive coordinator at Jackson State. And so he was basically driving the 30 minutes from his home to meet with Hal Mummy regularly and attend their spring practices. He didn't obviously get to practice, but he got to watch, he got to devour as much film as he wanted to. Hal Mummy was, I guess, super accommodating with that. So he really tried to digest as much as he could, prepare as much as he could. And, like, you know, East Carolina, like a lot of teams, a lot of spread teams are running air raid concepts. So it's not like it's completely foreign. It's more just sort of learning the command of all the different elements. And like I said, so far so good. I mean, he jumped in right away. And he really has this charismatic personality, this really commanding presence with the team. And that was kind of the first thing that really all the neutral observers that I know noticed about him, was that he just had this leadership presence that, is something that his previous coaches at other schools had talked about, that he's just got this personality, this natural leadership ability. And I really think that's something this team was looking for, you know, again, after losing their quarterback the way they did, to have a guy come in and sort of, who wasn't there when that happened, to kind of come in with a fresh slate and take control. You know, he really, I think, it seems like so far, has done a really great job of taking the reins and maximizing the time that he has and really just being a quick learner.
That's a good idea. Go meet with the source mummy there. That's a
right?
pretty good deal. Like, we know there's Matt Mummy hanging out in Nevada doing some stuff, so that'll be obviously showing up when they start chucking it around for those games. So who's going to catch the ball? They lose, like, Tavarius Martin's gone, Isaiah Johnson-Mack's gone. Leading receivers are running back there in James Williams. Who's he going to be throwing the ball to? It could be anybody, because we've all seen what this offense could do. It could be a reserve come back with all these guys, 40 catches, 60 catches, four guys, five guys, 30 plus catches. Is there going to be a standout to get like 75 catches this year?
Yeah, I don't know if there will be or not. If there is, my bet would be on Tay Martin, who's a sophomore. He's the X receiver, so the wide out closest to the sideline on the left. Mm-hmm. That would be my choice as a guy who probably would do it if anybody could do it. But, you know, this is a really deep core of receivers. There's a lot of talent spread across all four receiver positions. And like 8 to 10 guys are going to play. Mm-hmm. So the ball is going to get spread around. I don't think anybody's going to catch 75 or 80 balls. I think the last time, River Craycraft maybe did that a couple of years ago. He was an inside receiver. Those guys are the best candidates. So maybe a guy like Kyle Sweet, also, you know, a senior, gets compared a lot to River Craycraft because he's white and 6 feet tall and does all the things that white inside receivers do. People love to talk about his shiftiness, right?
Oh, yeah.
His sneaky athleticism.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway,
code words.
Exactly. So he's the guy who, you know, if there was a guy who might do that, he's probably the guy who might really rack up receptions. Tay Martin's a guy who I could see leading the team in receiving yards. He's a pretty explosive athlete. He was originally supposed to be a D1 basketball player, but he's going to play both football and basketball at Tulane and really emphasize on he's from Louisiana, really emphasize on basketball. Well, then, you know, Mike Leach comes calling. He decides to come up here and improved a ton. You know, and then there are a whole bunch of other explosive guys. A name that, you know, people who follow recruiting closely might recognize, Jameer Calvin. He was a four-star guy who Wazoo flipped from Nebraska. So, you know, he's kind of a burner speedster guy on the inside. They're real deep. Leach typically plays eight guys, period, two at each position. They rotate in and out. He's even talking about playing maybe even up to 10 guys. That's how good he feels about the group overall. So lots of guys who can make plays, and I think that's really going to help Minshew out too, because a lot of the video I saw from him at East Carolina is he's a guy who's not afraid to throw the ball out there and let his receivers kind of go get it or throw it to him in places where they can maybe do something after the catch. And so I think having those kinds of weapons, those athletic weapons that we've got, we don't have the SEC prototypical, 6'4", 230-pound, 4'4 guy, but there are plenty of guys who are plenty fast or plenty quick, and they just keep coming at you in waves because they really do go kind of eight to ten deep. So, yeah, it's, one of those guys, either Tay Martin or Kyle Sweet, I imagine, will probably lead the team in the counting stats, but I don't think anybody's going to overwhelm you because the ball is really going to get spread out.
So do the hockey sub 3 in, 3 out, 4 in, 4 out.
It's kind of like that. It really is kind of like that.
So who's going to? We'll get to, not that the offensive line's boring. It's very important. We know that, but they lose some pretty big guys up there. Three, four starters, I believe, or at least three are gone. All American, a couple Pac-12 guys.
Yeah.
Who's going to protect them? Is there somebody going to step up? What are the outlook, I guess, because you're losing half your line. That's a big deal.
Yeah, that's kind of a big question. And the other thing was, though, the line last year wasn't great. You had Cody O'Connell at left guard, who had been an All-American as a junior. That seemed to largely come because PFF kind of fell in love with him. and perhaps maybe he wasn't quite as good as PFF made him out to be. He was an all Pac-12, I want to say he was an honorable mention or something the same year he was an All-American, which was, we all thought was sort of crazy, but, maybe the coaches kind of knew something about him. He didn't have as good of a year last year, ends up going undrafted. Right guard was a fifth-year senior, who, hadn't started until that point for probably a good reason. And then the right tackle was really the strongest of them, Cole Madison. I ended up being a fifth-round draft pick of the Green Bay Packers. So that's a right tackle is definitely a loss. There's a real chance that left guard and right guard, the right guard ends up being an upgrade. Left guard maybe at least ends up being a wash. Left tackle, Andre Dillard, he's a legit NFL prospect, really nice athletic guy, former basketball player, pretty typical, you know, WSU offensive line recruit. He was, you know, 6'5 and 250 when he came to Wazoo. And within 2 years, he weighed 315 pounds. So really good, you know, excellent blocker, excellent athlete. And then in the middle, Fred Malagoa, he's a guy from Hawaii. He's a little undersized for a center, especially for a Leach offensive line. He likes some big, he's right around 300 pounds. You know, but he's got experience now. So, and then the guy at right tackle taking over for Madison is going to be a redshirt freshman named Nate Lucas, who the staff absolutely loves, has all the physical tools. Again, you know, came in a little light, put on a ton of weight, and is now ready to do his thing. So, you know, there's a chance that the line is as good as it was last year. I think it's kind of up in the air a little bit. I think a big area last year, it took a huge step back running the ball. That line just did not have the physical presence to run the ball that it had the year before. And that's something I know they need to get back to this year. And then the other thing is Luke Falk, for all of his accolades, would sometimes be a very frustrating quarterback for holding on to the ball for a long time. Didn't always do his line any favors because he would just hold it, hold it, hold it. You know, ended up with a ton of sacks. I think he was sacked on 7% of his dropbacks, something like that, which is a really astronomically high number.
Yeah, 39 sacks, 264 sack yards. That's two football fields, folks.
So Gardner Minshew, on the other hand, again, from watching his film, one thing he is decisive, and the ball comes out pretty quick. So if he's able to do that and not make mistakes while doing it, you know, not throwing interceptions because he's getting it out too quick, that's another thing that could really help out the line and an experienced line that needs to grow is making sure the ball's out within 2 to 3 seconds so that, you know, that the line's not having to block forever. It's a line that could be, you know, I would expect they're at least as good, could be better than last year, but it's a little dicey right now, a lot of inexperience.
So, yeah, because that's my next thing. Because, besides them having a game already, they have, in my opinion, others, like a really good defense. A lot of guys up front. They had, I know New Mexico State wasn't great in that opening game. They had, I think, 6 or 7 pass breakups from their linemen. So it's, like you said, if he's holding on to the ball, you get your hands up. That's what this offense is for Washington State, these attacks. You want to throw in like 2 to 3 seconds as soon as you can. Get it out of your hand in a second sometimes. So the guys can't get a hand up. How will with this new offensive line going up against Wyoming defense that was top 20 nationally in most major categories, returns basically everybody back? Because they're secondary, they have Andrew Wingarden, All-American, second team for most places. A couple other guys back there. They have a really good mix of talent who's played for years. Two things. Can this offensive line hold up to this Wyoming defensive front that has some really good couple NFL guys coming up? Do you think that's the biggest concern if they're going to get a pass rush or hands up in this game?
You know, honestly, I'm most worried about, because Minshew seems to be, like I said, decisive. He will throw the ball and he will, you know, he'll throw it into risky spots. I mean, there's no doubt about that. You know, basically from what I saw again, you know, thanks to YouTube, but it's like, you know, he'll make some risky throws at times and he makes a decision and he rips it. So I'm actually much more concerned about, you know, those linebackers and particularly the safeties, right, who are, you know, two awesome, awesome safeties. You know, and Bull, you know, is known for creative defense. And so, you know, for a ball hawking defense, you know, I'm a little more concerned that the ball comes out super quick and then he throws it right into somebody's chest and, you know, it's 6 points the other way. Cause I don't think Wyoming's offense is going to be able to move the ball that much, even though the WSU defense is rebuilt. You know, the WSU defense is, you know, pretty well rebuilt from last year, especially on the defensive line. But I don't think Wyoming's, you know, coming out and putting up 35. So, you know, any points that you give away with a short field or with a turnover, those are the kinds of things that scare me. That he's going to, like I said, throw one right into somebody's chest. It could be 6 points the other way, which are, you know, 6 points that Wyoming's offense probably wasn't going to score.
Exactly, because they led the nation turnovers margin last year by a good, healthy margin. Yep. A couple years ago, they had guys like Logan Wilson still there, pick sixes. They were getting either short fields or returning for points. That's how Wyoming's going to be really good, because when they played New Mexico State, yes, the running game finally showed up. And there was, like, the PFF thing you mentioned earlier, apparently they said New Mexico State has great defense. Didn't see that much last week in this game, because Wyoming had zero running game last year. They have returning talent, because last year was a mess offensively. So most players are back. They can't be worse than last year. That's all I keep saying. If they're a little bit better, that might give them like 3 more wins just because of that defense. I expect on offense, they'll do what they want to do. Run the ball. Hopefully it does well. And complete 60% of their pass, if that could be done. If they do that, but defense, they want to get, you know how it is, get turnovers, easy points, short fields. Because if they can, even if Wyoming were to, say, get a couple turnovers, win like 3-1, and they settle for all field goals, that's still questionable to win because the offense is that up in the air from last year to this week. So it's going to be, if they're going to win, it'll be interesting because Wyoming's deep at secondary, but I don't think they're that deep to be able to take on 4 or 5 wideouts the entire game, minimum 3 every single possession. So I think you're right. If they throw quick, maybe Andrew Wingard or Logan Wilson, some linebacker will jump up and get a pick or knock it down. That's going to be an issue. But do you think, like, Washington State, we know they can score points. Can they score points on this defense enough to make it a win? Because right now, the line, I know it jumped around, but the line's crazy. It's 3.5 in some places, but then I see one place it's where only a point for Washington State. It's pretty, should be a pretty tight one, but do you think the offense can just not basically be business as usual and do well enough against this team?
You know, like I said, it's, you know, there's so many question marks, particularly a quarterback, right? We haven't seen Gardner Minshew and what he actually can do at the helm of the offense. One thing to move the ball, you know, in practice, it's, and look, you know, good and decisive doing it, whatever, but, you know, it's a whole other thing to do in a game. Now, the fact that he has started a lot of games, you know, is something that makes you feel better just simply because, you know, this is a guy who's seen a lot of defense. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, started out at Troy, you know, redshirted at Troy, you know, learned he really wasn't going to ever have a chance to earn the starting job there, transfers to a junior college, wins a junior college national championship as in his one season there, transfers to East Carolina, wins the starting job midway through the year, you know, gets, you know, through the summer, comes back, doesn't win the job out of camp, again, wins the job back midway through the year, you know, has some productive games. So, I mean, he started, I want to say he started something like 15 or 14 games at East Carolina. This is a guy who's been around and seen a lot of defenses. So I'd be much more worried if one of the backups, you know, the other two guys really fighting for the job, Trey Tinsley, Anthony Gordon, either one of those guys, had they won, I'd be like, you know, really, you know, like guys who haven't really seen anything live, you know, I'd be much more concerned about what those guys might do. I think Minshew can, you know, like I said, you know, can do some things that those guys can't just because of his experience. Like I said, as long as he can stay away from mistakes, you know, I'm not sure, you know, I'd predict him for a, you know, a 5-touchdown performance or anything like that. But I think certainly 24 to 28 points is within reason. And as long as they don't, like I said, you know, as long as they don't turn, you know, make stupid turnovers, give up a short field, really just sort of poop their pants, so to speak. You know, it should be a close game. They should be able to pull it out. Now, again, that's, you know, that's saying, you know, well, maybe Wyoming makes some plays, you know, maybe, you know, get turnovers, whatever. Our special teams are pretty notoriously crappy. And, you know, and then the other thing is, I mean, Leach's teams, if you just look at history, they at Wazoo, they have sucked in openers. They had not won an opening game or an Apple Cup, or had not won an opening game in Leach's, you know, 6 years until last year, and then or 5 years until last year, six years until last year.
Yeah, that's included like Eastern Washington, some teams that aren't that good, right?
And
Portland,
Portland State.
Sorry, I don't mean to push Robert in too much.
Yeah, no, Eastern Washington was one of them. Portland State was one of them. So it's a pretty bad track record. They were able to win the opener last year, thank God. And then, you know, but, you know, in those games in Apple Cups, he's like 2-10 or something, you know, the opener and the closer. So that's another thing that kind of gives us pause is, yeah, you know, should they be able to compete with Wyoming? Yes. You know, are there reasons to think that, you know, whatever, but, you know, Leach pretty much loses these games. So hopefully, you know, that doesn't rear its head again on Saturday.
Well, I remember the New Mexico Bowl game versus Colorado State, where at the end of the game, I like to pass. My team can pass. Let's pass 4 times when the clock, instead of using the clock. I'm like, it's just some odd stuff. So what I heard you correctly, your prediction, Washington State should win this in a close one?
I mean, that's, you know.
That's fine. It's supposed to be a close game either way. You know, it's the line.
If I'm a Wyoming fan, I'm like, Wyoming's going to win a close one. You know, it's, I mean, that's my expectation is, you know, a team like Washington State that's won, you know, whatever, 26 games the last 3 years, you know, plays in the Pac-12 should be able to go to Wyoming and win. You know, that should happen. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's, like I said, you know, there's lots of factors here Again, an inexperienced quarterback, a rebuild, you know, a defensive line that is perilously thin, a new defensive coordinator, lots of talent in the back four and the linebackers, but the defensive line is really suspect. It's a team like Wyoming that wants to run the ball. It is going to be really interesting to see if they're able to do that. If Wyoming's able to run the ball and control the clock and keep our offense off the field. And the other thing is, I mean, the air raids, you know, a lot of people think the air raid's a fast offense. Mike Leach is not running as a fast offense. I mean, they're typically snapping the ball with under 10 seconds on the clock as they sort of diagnose the defense.
Well, they set up fast. They just don't. That's the thing.
Right.
They set quickly
fast,
and late.
And then they diagnose and they wait and they look and they shift and whatever. You know, so typically they're under 10 seconds on the, usually between 5 and 10 seconds on the play clock before they snap. So so it could, you know, if Wyoming's able to control the ball and run the ball and keep control of the clock and keep pressure on the offense by, on the WSU offense by doing that, that would be something that would be not good. If WSU can put them behind the eight ball a little bit early, I think that plays way, way, way into Washington State's favor. You know, if they can get up by, you know, 7 to 10 points in the first quarter or something like that, all of a sudden maybe that changes the calculus a little bit for Wyoming and puts them in an uncomfortable spot with a young quarterback who didn't exactly look like he was ready to throw for 4,000 yards yet.
Yeah, his percentage was good. But you're right, the defensive line's one area I'm like, all right, if Wyoming's rushing game is improved, as it looks to be, at least, here's the thing, yeah, as New Mexico State, he rushed for 190, but this, they had games last year they rushed for like 5 yards total. And so it's somewhere between this, and that's the one area,
right,
I think Wyoming on offense could have some success just moving the ball. Like I said, the line's a little bit thin for Washington State talent, but inexperienced guys back there who haven't played a ton. So I don't know. It's in Wyoming. That's the reason I'd give them an edge, just because it's there. It's not a long ride. It's reasonably close to get to those two places. But it's funny. These two college campuses are like the hardest to get to in the country, essentially.
Right.
Laramie, yep, out there in Wazoo. Yep. And, oh, shoot. Oh, geez.
Pullman.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm like, no, it's not Spokane. That's Gonzaga. No, I'm, yeah, like, I know what it is. I should know.
Spokane. That's the thing.
Going to Idaho and drive
to Spokane, and then you drive down,
yeah,
to Pullman.
So. Or something like that. So, yeah, it should be close, and I'm going a slight win. I just think it's kind of odd. The line is like 4 points to 1 point all over the place. So that'll be – it's going to be a toss-up. It should be a good one. For folks, if you need CBS Sports Network, make sure you find it, because that's where it is. Is that a big question? People asking you on the website, where's CBS to get this game?
Yeah. People are trying to figure out if they've got it on their package, you know.
It also doesn't help when the official Pac-12 Twitter feed puts on says it's on regular CBS. That cost me,
yeah,
a couple weeks ago. I'm like, what are you
that
doing? That, I'm like,
yeah,
that would be awesome, but it's not the case. Just an over-the-air, yeah, game, put on your local channel 6, 10, 2, whatever it may be. But find the game. It's at 12:30 Pacific time, 1:30 Mountain time out there in a good old Laramie War Memorial Stadium. But any last things you want to add really quick before we wrap this thing up? Any tidbits I didn't hit on for you?
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to think if there's anything else. The WSU defensive line, I guess I just can't speak to that enough. The best player there is Nnamdi Aguayo, and he's a kind of a freak athlete, you know, really excellent pass rusher. He's been out most of camp, and I've heard some whispers that he's back at practice. Nobody really knew what was going on, you know, so who knows? Nobody was seeing him at practice, which leads you to think maybe concussion issues or something like that. But heard a rumor he's back at practice. You know, he's a guy who, you know, is easily the team's best defensive lineman. So if he's able to do some things, that'd be important. The linebackers, you know, I'm really curious to see how Clays maybe tries to compensate for the lack of talent on the defensive line, particularly with a team that, you know, is sort of, there's a lot of questions as to whether they can actually beat you with the quarterback. So I have a feeling you're going to see Wazoo, you know, really kind of stack a lot of guys at the line. Another guy that you'll see probably everywhere is safety Jalen Thompson. He's a legit All-Pac-12 first team candidate. He's excellent. He's a junior. He's been a full-time starter since he stepped on campus. So he's a guy who's everywhere. He'll come up and run support quite a bit. So obviously you see a lot of him. Hunter Dale's another guy. He's a nickel, very talented, versatile guy. You'll probably, again, see him in run support, but also see him, you know, clogging the passing lanes. And if I were to bet on a guy to make a game-changing defensive play, it would probably either be Thompson, the safety, or Hunter Dale, the nickel. Those are two guys who just kind of have a knack for finding the ball. and doing something. So I think, you know, if WSU can, like I said, get out in front a little bit, make Wyoming play from behind, I think that really plays into their hands. If they make some, you know, some dumb mistakes on offense, turn the ball over, give up a short field, which, you know, they're pretty prone to doing in their season openers, then it becomes, you know, much, much more difficult. You know, and again, particularly on the road, I imagine, you know, Laramie, I mean, I don't know how jacked up Laramie gets, but I imagine Laramie's going to get about as jacked up as it gets for the idea of a Pac-12 school coming into town. So, and it being a home opener. So I think it should be fun, you know, and I think it'll be close, and I think it's probably going to give me heartburn for like 4 hours.
Oh, geez. Because, yeah, I don't, like, it's going to, like you said, or as we finish here, if it's 10-0, even like 10-0 is not a big difference, but for this Wyoming offense, that's a big difference if they're down 10-0 and say the first two possessions, and particularly if Wyoming goes like 3-and-out twice. So that's probably the biggest, like the overall biggest concern for Wyoming is don't get behind more than like 6 or 7 points, especially not early. Because if it's 21-3, 21-6, it's game over. They don't have the offense to come back. And so that's the biggest concern probably I think Wyoming should have is can the offense do just enough. But Jeff, thank you so much for hopping on.
Thanks, Jeremy. My pleasure.
Yes, excellent. Check their stuff out, KookCenter.com. They have thousands of articles on this opening weekend because they do a great job covering everything Washington State. So they have, looks like you chatted with a beat writer from Wyoming over there, got the depth chart post up, a few other things. Just go immerse yourself in knowing about the other team. They do a great job. And get ready for Saturday. We'll have a good one. So thanks for hopping on, man. I'll see you around.
Thank you.